Welcome back to another season of Remotely Speaking Up. Join me, Dr. Rochelle Haynes, and my special guests every week as we discuss how the way we work continues to change and how companies and their people can continue to thrive no matter where and how they work. For more on our podcast, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Remotely Speaking Up. Stay tuned for more. Welcome back to another episode of Remotely Speaking Up, and we are on episode 6 this week, so we're coming up to our mid-season break. And this week, we have Caribbean HR guru, Cavell Joseph Sintomer. Cavell, welcome to our show. Now, Cavell is the head of the Human Resource Management Society of Trinidad, their president, as well as the president of the Caribbean Institute of Human Resource Management. And Cavell is here to share her wisdom with us with regards to the Caribbean context and changing ways of working and what are the latest HR trends and remote work or work evolution trends within the Caribbean context. So Cavell, welcome to the show.
Dr. Haynes, thank you for having me. I look forward to our conversation. And we finally were able to match each other's time zone and yes. availability as well.
Absolutely. We're busy, busy women. And on top of that, happy belated birthday to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. See, balloons are still hanging there from yesterday's events and activities at the office. So thank you so much.
Very nice backdrop. Well, let's get into it. Let's start talking about the context, because we know, of course, with the Caribbean, we were quite resistant to remote work. And it's really good to get a snapshot of how things have changed or how mindsets have changed post-pandemic. And we know that it's had a massive change on the world of work, but at the same time, we are seeing a lot of companies trying to go back to the old way of doing things as well, while companies and some employees are embracing newer ways of working. So what is your feel within the Caribbean context? First, can you tell us a bit about maybe prior to the pandemic, what was the approach or let's say to what extent was remote working and hybrid working a thing prior to the pandemic?
Well, prior to the pandemic, what we found happening is that multinationals, especially for those who worked in the energy sector, they always had hybrid models in terms of technology being utilized to facilitate international teams working collaboratively together. They've always had the 80 hours day off, and then there's a day off model that they will have within their work week system, in addition to the network and the availability for online methods of collaborating and working together, hosting meetings online. So you found that especially in the energy sector, that the systems, the technology, all those things were in place to facilitate the transition during COVID. And that's why they were able to continue a lot faster. Business continuity was a lot easier in that sector versus other sectors, like perhaps the public sector taken as a collective, recognizing that the public sector is very much public interfacing in terms of the services that are provided. And then the technology to support it and the rules that govern how we even do business in the public sector requires a lot of checks and balances to ensure that you don't have any breaches within the system. So therefore, you found within the public sector and in Trinidad and Tobago, for example, and in most Caribbean territories, you find that the government often is the largest employer within the entire economic system, the ecosystem. And therefore, how the government and public services structure tend to influence even the private sector. The same way when governments roll out policies and procedures, or they establish minimum wages, or collective agreements are settled, the standard is set by them, and then you find the private sector following thereafter. So prior to COVID, it was primarily the multinationals that were utilizing alternative forms of working. And therefore, it was much easier for them to continue when the pandemic hit us in 2020.
Yeah, you make a good point there in terms of the influence of sectors, the influence of industry. And one of the things that we saw as well is the barriers you mentioned about the technological abilities at the time. And that's a good point as well, because while it was easy for some companies with a lot of resources to make that switch, for other companies, let's say smaller firms, it wasn't as easy. And then you're very much right also in considering the customers that you're serving. Caribbean countries are quite different. Some people live quite remotely, some people live in mountains, and the digital access wasn't the same. So I think you make a really good point where you're talking about that transition progress, that transition process.
Yeah. And you also saw, especially when we look at what happened in the education sector and public schools. Now, if we look at overseas and we saw and we observe what went on in the United States and all of that is very different to the Caribbean experience as well. In Trinidad and Tobago, what we saw was a lot of public-private partnerships with assisting students with getting access to laptops and also access to the technology as well. So a lot of the regulations and rules around that was lifted, right? So it required a lot of quick thinking and quickly adjusting and adapting to this new form of even learning and how we deliver on the educate on the curriculum then on how teachers delivered on the curriculum for each term. So it was an in fact an interesting study. I think some research should be done around that period to see how it impacted us, and certainly to explore the difference between the students during that period and the students now in terms of how it impacted even their learning, because we saw how the results from CXC and SEA exams that there was a dip in student performance during that time as well, and it's certainly because of how we had to switch in terms of the normal traditional way of learning with the teacher in front of the classroom setting versus the virtual setting where you can even determine whether or not students were actually online, because some of them cameras off, a number of students who dropped out of the system altogether, because as you rightly say, there's a lot of rural communities and people in remote areas where the technology just did not exist, even for Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi access. And then there was the affordability issue as well too. So yeah, it really makes for some interesting study for some of the academics out there who are looking for new research projects.
Yeah, you're right, because in preparing for this interview as well, I was looking up Caribbean data on not just remote work, but also the sort of impact, especially in terms of our HR, what has been the transformation since. And there's a serious lack of data out there. So I think you're right. There's a missed opportunity somewhere there. And who knows? Let's see what the future brings in terms of research. Maybe that's an area to explore. So one of the things as well, in terms of working remotely and in terms of adjusting, one of the things that we saw was that when the pandemic was over, we saw at first it was embraced where it could be. And then we did see in some cases there was a rise in productivity and whatnot. But now, post-pandemic, we're noticing some of the impacts that you so rightly mentioned. One of them being as well on Gen Z. So, for example, in the US, there was a recent study, I think it was by the company Last Data, where they showed that 70%, I think, 70% of Gen Z are struggling in the workforce, in the workplace. And part of the reasons for that they explained was coming out of the pandemic, making that adjustment back into office culture and so forth. What have you seen in your own work with different organizations as some of the challenges post-pandemic facing, I don't know, for example, younger employees, or what are the changes that you've seen in the workforce in general?
Well, certainly you saw a wide-scale adoption of the globing mode, and that's a new term that has been penned coming out of the pandemic, where a number of people have embraced even working, although the business that they might be working for is registered in one country, they don't mind working in another country virtually and working virtually supporting that business in another territory. So their pay or the taxes, how everything is calculated, is based on the home country, but they they up working in Barbados, for example. I know Barbados, in fact, they changed their laws to accommodate persons who wanted to come and work in Barbados virtually as well, remotely, sorry. So this global mode where people are now even exploring opportunities to work for international or global organizations that have no problem with them staying in their host country and working remotely. And when you can, when you communicate and you chat with recruiters, there's a greater demand by the younger generation for employment that looks like that, for contractual arrangements that allow for that kind of flexibility, because you've also seen a rise in the entrepreneurial spirit. So the younger generation are a little bit more entrepreneurial, and they don't necessarily want to come and work in your organization. In fact, they will come, but it's for a very short time because perhaps their parents are encouraging them, or there's a definite need to earn based on their individual circumstances. Because you're also dealing with a generation of workers who are a little bit more privileged than, say, our generation, where the disposable income in the house looks different. So therefore, they are comfortable at home. So there's nothing motivating them significantly to go out into the workspace and earn for themselves. So now they could take their time in deciding what they want to pursue. And a number of young Gen Zs now, they are very much interested in entrepreneurship. And when you chat with them, they all have business ideas. So therefore, any job that allows them to be flexible so that they could actually do digital work, they could become a content creator and work for 4 hours, or they could sit and review products for Amazon or review for other sites like YouTube and all of that, or create content for selling, because of course you see the rise of the influencers as well too, right? So therefore, anything that gives them that flexibility, and then they can now move on and do what they want to do with their time while earning for a couple hours, that is what they are looking for. So a lot of recruiters, and I happen to be friends with the founder of our own recruitment association here in Trinidad and Tobago, and she was seeing that as well. Those were some of the trends she was seeing in terms of persons who are approaching her firm and looking for contracts that resemble that, so that the definition of workplace now is shifting, and how we define the working hours are also changing. So we know it's established in law that a work day is 8 hours and a work week is 40 hours. Anything beyond that attracts overtime, depending on the category worker that you are. So therefore, you're seeing now, to me, there's need for reconsideration of those definitions, because so much flexibility is now in the workspace that we now have to consider whether this definition remains true in terms of what defines a work day. We're seeing also internationally a number of countries making adjustments to the work week, and we now have 4 day work week being experimented with in other territories. Perhaps we will see a proliferation of that across the Caribbean region. We could only hope. But for now, it's not being tested quite yet here in this part of the world, but it's certainly something that will eventually be here. And I think we need to be a little bit more advanced in how we look at it and embrace some of the new very quickly, because as a region, you'll end up being left behind, and you'd also lose talent because of the inflexibility that may exist. That will be a deterrent. Young people are also fearless, so they are not really going to consider their home as the only option for them. The world is a lot more global, and it's a lot more affordable to travel. It's a lot easier in terms of the movement of people. And a lot of countries, especially countries that have already a dwindling labor force because of the aging population that they have, they're certainly making it a lot easier to get the permits to work internationally as well too. And I think for us in the Caribbean, where we already had the brain drain issue, we want to make sure that we make it a little bit more attractive for our younger professionals to want to stay in the Caribbean and not go overseas. And then we lose talent as a consequence of that. And you're seeing it happen, huh? Because people are
Absolutely.
following it. And there's an a greater what should I say? When after the pandemic, I think a lot of young people or people in general re-examining what was important to them, and the whole concept of work-life balance became even more to the forefront of their minds, especially for those who experienced real trauma during that time, losing parents or having aged parents, because we all at that stage where our parents are a lot older now, and we will now be the generation that are taking care of parents. So therefore, it's all these things that are playing in the minds of the average person out there looking for employment, and they will prefer to work with an organization that will be a little bit more considerate of their needs and the need to strike a balance. I always use myself as an example because I don't have any kids, as everybody know. And therefore, for someone like me, there's no employer that would have had to look, would have had to anticipate me taking time off for maternity leave, parent teacher day, or school calling to say, "Kavel, come and pick up your child. She's not well." So therefore, what considerations are there for someone like me, who could always be on work and pull the weight for those who have those responsibilities, and consider the fact that although I may not have children, that I do have parents, and therefore, should something arise with my parents, would I be afforded the time to take care of them as if I would have been afforded the time to take care of my children? So it's even how we look at the concept of leave and all these different things. To me, forward-thinking companies should be examining all of that as well. I mean, so much has happened along the lines of technology that now, even if at this stage I wanted to have a baby, I could still have a baby because of technology, right? And there's no law that affords me the protection that if I, for example, had someone carry my child for me, that upon receiving this baby, this bundle of joy, because I did not give birth, it's not considered maternity because I did not give birth, and therefore, do I get the same protection under our laws? So it's a number of things that really we need to re-examine to ensure that we consider all the changes, technologies happening not only in the workspace like that, but even how we even define family, how children are brought into the world. There's so much happening right now that requires for us to think a little bit differently around definitions and how we treat the things generally.
Well, Kavel, that was a whole sermon. There's so much that you packed into that one answer that I can unpick. And you're so right. I mean, I love you. You really captured the essence of how the not just the workforce, but work in general, not even just companies, not just employees, but how work itself, the concept of work itself, is being redefined and rechallenged and challenged. And I love what you said about Gen Zers. And one of the topics, because as you know, I lecture as well, and one of the topics that we constantly discuss with our students is this concept of reflexive careers. And we're seeing more reflexive professionals where you, as you rightly said, it's now they're demanding flexibility in the job. They're demanding, they don't want necessarily a 9 to 5. They want to work on their own time. But then on top of that, they also want meaningful and purposeful work. Because it's like you said, they've kind of reevaluated what's important to them. And as you said as rightly as well, having that privilege that maybe the previous generations didn't have, where perhaps they didn't have the choice of choosing what type of work they wanted to do because it was more about surviving. With this generation, where you do have the option of choosing how to work, where to work, when to work, and who to work for, then there's more consideration around, well, do I want to be aligned with this company that has these values versus a company that has values that better align with mine? So you're right. There's a lot for employers to consider and a need for them to get creative as well when you're trying to attract these type of individuals. So thank you for that. I mean, you've touched on so many things. I mean, me just responding to that would take up the rest of the time. So I'm going to go to another question and then we can discuss further as well. But yeah, you really unpicked a lot there. So thank you for that. So what do you see then as some of the barriers? And you mentioned quite a few there already, but let's say you mentioned it's really, there's a need to unpick some of those old laws, old ways of doing things. Let's say you wanted to start doing that tomorrow from a policy perspective. What do you see as some of the key barriers to making that happen?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's the mindset of the current leadership. Across the world, we're seeing a lot of young people entering the political arena and leading big nations. We've seen it in Scandinavia, we've seen it in Australia, and even right in our part of the world, in Canada, where you have younger people offering themselves for leadership. And when I say leadership, it's not only political leadership. You're seeing a lot of young people heading Fortune 500 companies, becoming CEOs, etc. And the thing is, every generation experiences the world differently. And we have five generations in the workspace right now. And the more mature, older generation, they've experienced the world, they've seen wars, they've seen so many things, and that has shaped their own understanding of what work should look like, how it should be delivered, how we manage, how we lead, right? And therefore, they might be a little bit more fixated at keeping things the traditional way. But in the workforce, you have the younger generation now taking up the majority in terms of numbers, in terms of the demographic size. And their experiences and how they interact with the world is very much different. And as a consequence of that, you're going to have these clashes, these generational views being there's a clash. But when you look at who are the lawmakers and who are the decision makers, it tends to be someone from a different generation. And if we don't have a change in mindset, if we don't try to learn from each other and understand that our journeys are a bit different, our experiences are different, and it doesn't make any one generation better than the other, if we embrace and we try to understand each other, you'd find now that there are solutions that are workable that would allow for the flexibility. And it starts, of course, with the legal system that exists, and that needs to change. It needs to be adjusted, right? Then, of course, in the absence of laws, companies can make their own policies. Company policies actually sometimes supersedes the law. So if we were to say, for example, if we were to use severance, and if the Severance Benefits Act establishes one way of calculating severance when you're retrenching workers, and there are a number of companies who calculated and have enhanced packages, so they've gone above the law, and companies could do that. So in the absence of a law, or even if there's law, you could go above. So the law says we calculate and we say it's 50, 2 weeks for each month, or however we calculate it based across the labor codes in St. Lucia, what's happening in Jamaica and all of that. If we were to look at it and we go one step ahead of it, there's nothing preventing a company from doing that. And therefore, if HR practitioners advocate a little bit more for that and build proper business cases, we could see a lot more companies looking at it through those lens because we've built a sufficient enough case and we could tell from the case that we've built whether or not there's a financial benefit because most companies just want to know my profits are going to remain the same, right? Or it's going to go up. Tell me what will we benefit from this? And once we could establish that and have the data to prove it, then you would see a lot more companies adopting the new ways of doing things. So if we have seen in some instances, and you said it earlier, that that initially we saw a rise in productivity when people were working from home, right? You found that a number of people were getting up early and going straight to their computers. There was no need to transit. There's no need to dress up, put on no set of makeup. In fact, people just put on a jacket and went in front of the computer for meetings. And there was a rise in some instances. And if we look at that and we have the data that captures that there was a rise in productivity, and we share that with employers now and build a case for maintaining some kind of hybrid way of working, that could help. Because, of course, you still want to have that interaction. You still want to foster collaboration. You want to foster networking within the organization. You want to make sure that there's a high degree of engagement. We must also recognize that not everyone wants to work from home. There are people like me who like to come out. I worked right through COVID. I didn't work remotely at all. So therefore, so to me, companies now should offer, I call it a cafeteria of options, because you cannot have a one size fit all. Everybody's circumstances differ. So I don't have any screaming children at home. I don't have anyone to drop off or pick up anywhere. So it's easy for me. I like to come out and work. And the others who would prefer, because of their own circumstances, to be at home, and they're just as productive. What we've also seen is a lot of people, so, and I'm getting back to your question. So we covered laws, we covered policies, but we also have to examine whether we've prepared managers to manage effectively in a hybrid world. A
Yes.
lot of our managers, when they did their masters and when they studied, they would have studied under different mode. Their understanding of performance management, of how we lead, would have been to support a different structure and a different way of doing business. Now that has changed. It means you have to unlearn and
Yes.
relearn. It
Yes.
means therefore that your style of leadership has to shift. You can't, you shouldn't, you ought not to want to maintain your old ways of doing things because it's not going to work. That's when we will have the clashes. But we have to be prepared to unlearn and to embrace new information and adapt accordingly. And that's why, a good competence for anyone wanting to lead now and in the future would be agility and your own ability to adapt very quickly to change and to never stop learning too, We must always embrace learning and new ways of doing things as well. So there's a lot to be done in terms of how we train those for leadership as well, so that they learn to manage different generations and to manage different work modes and different styles of working as well too. So, I mean, those are some of the easy ones I could think of at this point, yeah.
No, that's a great answer, and I think you've captured a lot of things there, especially where we often think of, okay, this is a macro level, a problem to be solved only at the macro level, when actually there's a lot that we can do from the organizational level to begin the process that will also influence or put pressure on the macro level to change. So I think you make a very valid point there. And it's definitely something I've seen where you mentioned the managerial support with my own work, working with clients on the transformation process of the organization. A lot of time we spend on just changing mindsets. But outside of changing mindsets, you're very much right. The thing that we often notice the most is you have to do one set of training discussion with leaders, but then also the managers, especially at middle management level, especially if you're coming in as an employee to do marketing and then you find yourself in a management position through promotion, you might not have gotten that training and support along the way to work in different ways or to even how to manage.
Yeah.
So I think you made some very, very important points. Cavell, you have given us so much in this episode to unpick. I love it. We're getting ready to wrap up now. And there's so much more we could say on this topic. And I'm really looking forward to, well, even outside of our podcast, having this conversation more because you're very much right. The context really matters. And I'm really happy that we examined it from the Caribbean perspective, because we know as Caribbean countries, we have our own unique challenges, not even just as a region, but from country to country as well. So thank you very much for highlighting that. And just before we go, we're going to wrap up, but just before we go, can you tell me about just a little bit more about your work with Hermat and how Hermat is helping to champion some of these new developments?
Well, the good thing about Hermat and the current leadership of the organization is that collectively as a board, we are always pushing the envelope and finding ways to bring more business-oriented conversations to the table. We utilize the platforms that we have. We've established within recent times our column in the Trinidad and Tobago Guardian, which comes out every Monday, the Hermat Says column. And it's an opportunity for thinkers and thought leaders to share their ideas on all that's happening in the world of HR, in business, in all aspects, all right? From volunteerism, go all the way up to what we see now as productivity issues, for example, or exactly what we're talking about here today, remote work. So there's that. We do have our radio program as well, which again affords an opportunity to reach a different audience because traditional media is still very much relevant. Not everything is lived on social media. Through television interviews and all of that, we stay current as well too. But through forums like Hermat's C-suite conversations, through conferences, we also find ways to bring industry leaders and HR into the room. We have to recognize that HR's job is not only about support. Yes, we have to support management, but it's a lot more strategic and forward-thinking. And exactly what we are talking about here, HR people should be having these conversations in their workspaces with the leadership in their organization and finding different ways based on their unique circumstances to embrace new ways of doing things. That's our role. So for us at Hermat, we've been providing avenues and platforms to bring some of the best within our country to have these conversations. The upcoming version or edition, I should say, of C-Suite Conversations will focus on productivity. And we have that. But also we utilize all our training and development, our learning and development program. So we do have coming up performance management and how we treat with performance management, again, in the current context of how we manage and lead with the intergenerational issues, with the remote working, etc. We did have recently the whole subject of ESG. That is something that we need to have an appreciation. We had also the subject of risk management, because that's what we do as well. We manage risk for our organizations. So it's really trying to, again, bring new ideas and thought-provoking training to help enhance the skills and competencies of our practitioners. Yes, we all had the foundation through our degree programs, but now new skills and new competencies are necessary for us to lead and to be more effective at what we do. And finally, we are recognizing our practitioners in Trinidad and Tobago and across the region through awards. And of course, we recognize that HR is an unsung hero most of the time in organizations. So we've created a platform where we could recognize ourselves and those who are doing absolutely tremendous work in advancing our profession and the field in general, and contributing to a body of work and a body of cases that we could all learn from. And coming out of that, we will hope to have a cohort of well-established practitioners that people could turn to when looking for advice and guidance, because we've acknowledged them in that space, so we could identify them very easily as well. So
Excellent.
that's some of what we're doing at
Yeah.
Hubert, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we have just about 3 minutes left. And before we go, I'm going to switch it up really quickly and ask you, when you are not conquering the world of HR, which clearly you are, what do you do to get that balance or to in your downtime? What is the Cavell go-to outside of work?
Well, I am not the definition of balance at all.
Which is
So I tell people, do not use me as an example. But the thing is, because I am passionate about what I do and I love what I do, it doesn't feel like work, and that could be a problem. Yeah, because sometimes we don't recognize how it is impacting us. We don't often see it because it comes so easy, or it becomes so natural. Not that it's easy, but it's a lot natural for you because you love what you do. Let me tell you see, travel for me is my escape. When I really need to detach, I have to leave the country, I have to explore, I have to go in the wilderness. So it takes me into deserts and jungles and forested areas and the ocean, because I love nature. And for me, it's important for me to connect with nature. I'm a Taurus, I'm a Taurus, so it's an earth sign as well too. I don't know if that has any bearing on my personality. But that escape is important, and spending time with my family and loved ones. So I'm also quite sociable. So having a good laugh and meeting up for drinks and a nice meal, all those things help. And having hearty, healthy conversations, nothing too heavy. But you know, when you meet up, it's not really to talk heavy things, but really to have a good laugh and to think about things for the future, future planning, future ideas. I think even while you were in Trinidad, and a few of you in Trinidad, that's the nature of the conversations, you know? That's the kind of conversations I like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what helps me, but I am not the definition of work-life balance.
No,
I
trust
repeat.
me. I know what you mean. Being an academic, being a consultant, I totally get it. And I'm right up there with you with the travel club that I do the same thing as well. That's my go time. My relaxing thing is to get busier with travel. Yeah, so I get it. But thank you so much, Cabell. Thank you for joining our show. Thank you for the wealth of knowledge. You shared so much on this episode. So thank you for that. We're going to be unpicking this for a very long time. So I'm very grateful to have you. Thank you for our audience who joined us for another week. And if you want to know more about Hermat, you can find Cavell on social media. You can find Cavell Joseph Saint-Omer on LinkedIn. Is that right, Cavell?
Yes, I'm on all the platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Brilliant.
I'm not yet on Snapchat and TikTok. So that's
Brilliant.
The two that I'm yet to embrace, but I'm on everything else.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. And this is another episode of Remotely Speaking Up. So thank you for joining us and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast series. To find out more, follow us at Remotely Speaking Up on Instagram or go to www.crowdpotential.co.uk for our services. Until next time.